Greetings this morning, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to be inside this morning, isn't it? Have a nice place to get together and lift our voices and open the Word of God, and the wind isn't blowing the pages and they're not getting wet. And as far as I see, everybody's pretty comfortable in here. It's a blessing. Praise God. Thank you for sharing, Brother Eli. The sin of offense. Something that struck me this morning was it takes faith to forgive. I'm going to chew on that one. So when I can't forgive, I need faith. What does that mean? Well, by the grace of God, I'd like to stir our hearts and minds a little bit this morning about the Messiah. The title of the message this morning is A Messiah is Prophesied. And I have never done anything quite like this. I knew I was diving into a substantial pool and trying to sort through it. So we're going to sort of play with it a little bit, try to pick a few things out in it. But I'd like us to think a Messiah is prophesied. And just stir our minds on that. Maybe we could rise on, have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you this morning that you loved us so much that you wouldn't let us just go our own way without an opportunity to repent. Thank you, Father, for loving us so much that you would send your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to give his life for us that we might have life. And Lord, this morning as we gather together here as brethren in Christ, we just ask you to stir our hearts. Cause our minds to go beyond what's on my notes here this morning. And thank you for feeding us here this morning. And give us grace to forgive like you've forgiven us. Help us to grasp that and truly connect with it, Lord. Lord, would you just bless your word? I pray you guide my mind in my heart and thoughts here. It feels like a broad subject, but just guide and lead this message, direct this, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Maybe you could turn to Isaiah 53. This is a subject, if you want, you can spend the next month in it and discover what all I'm not going to say this morning. It's just that kind of subject. Praise God. A Messiah is prophesied. Jeremiah 31:31 says, "Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Zechariah 9:9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt full of an ass. Why would things like that be prophesied and then fulfilled? Why does it even matter?
That we might know that he's the
Son of God. Yeah, and there is a host of them. A host of them. Isaiah 53, I'd like to just read the chapter. And I want us to think, this is Isaiah talking about what is coming. And today, We just, that's how it is. That's how it was. I'm not going to make a lot of comments on this because I have a lot of other things to cover. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. And he is not no form or comeliness. And he, when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears, he is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall many righteous servants justify many. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. Therefore will I divide a portion, him a portion, with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. When he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. I should have assigned somebody to count how many times things were prophesied and then fulfilled. There's many there. So a Messiah is prophesied. The children of Israel, and we will keep seeing this, went through the Old Testament gathering together this promise of a Messiah that is coming. Many scriptures, they knew them well. They knew all kinds of things. And yet when he came, they rejected him. I'd like to just look at seven different things here this morning. Some of them will be longer than others. You could turn to Genesis. I'm going to hop through Genesis fairly quickly here on number one. Number one is the seed of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, Jesse, and David. The Messiah was prophesied to be the seed of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, Jesse, and David. Why would God do that? Why did it even matter? We see a lot of details here. So Genesis chapter 12. God told Abraham four times, and this is Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God told Abraham this repeatedly. Isaac is multiple times as well. Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17, and reading in verse 19. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And this is speaking of the lineage of the coming Messiah. Genesis 28. This one's about Jacob. Genesis 28. Starting in verse 10, reading through verse 14. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillow and lay down in that place to sleep. Now in verse 12, he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascended and descended on it. And behold, the Lord stood above and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereupon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and north, and the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And he comes back and says the same thing he said to Abraham. Genesis 49. This one's Judah. And I'm trying just to touch each one. If we went and did all of the scriptures, this would be too much. Genesis 49, verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall be the gathering of his people. This Shiloh is the Messiah. Judah is going to be in the lineage of the Messiah that is coming. Now for Jesse, I'm jumping to Isaiah 11, verse 1 and 2, and then we'll take one out of Psalm 132 for David. I actually have one here. Psalm 110 as well for David. So Jesse is David's dad. Isaiah 11, 1 and 2, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge of the fear of the Lord. So this branch, first he's talking about a rod coming out of the stem of Jesse. Then he says, a branch shall grow out of its roots. This branch is the Messiah. Psalm 132, this one's David. 132, verse 10 and 11, for thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. The Lord has sworn in truth unto David, and he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. And then Psalm 110, 1, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Peter quoted that last verse in Acts chapter 2 when he was proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah. How can David say, "The Lord said unto my Lord, who is this?" Well, obviously it's the Messiah. Now, just turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, reading verse 1 and 2. "And of the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judah and his brethren." How many prophecies in the Old Testament fulfilled in those two verses? Let's go to verse 5 and 6. "And Shalom begat Boaz of Rechah, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that was the wife of Uriah." So all of these scriptures we just read are literally fulfilled here. It is of their seed. And this is just like the beginning of what we can look at. Let's go on to number two. Number two is the seed of the woman. So we were looking at the seed of a lineage. Now we have the seed of the woman. This is dealing with the virgin birth, and we're not going to go into it real deep here this morning. In Genesis chapter 3, after the fall of man, in verse 15, God is speaking to the serpent, and he says, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou wilt bruise his heel." And if you take this to the fulfillment in the New Testament, where the adversary bruised the Messiah's heel, crucified him on the cross, and that very action is what took the power, sting of death, the power of sin, took that all away. And it's like he bruised the head of the adversary, that literally we can have a testimony like Eli shared here this morning, where we're free indeed in Christ. But there was a bruising of the heel. There was a bruising of the heel. The virgin birth. And as I look at that, you know, the woman is the one that was deceived. And I'm just saying, isn't that interesting? The seed of the woman is going to make this come about to reverse it. It's like God is going to the root of it and saying, right here. We're going to deal with it right here where it started. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 13. If you're in Matthew 1, just stay there. We're coming back. Excuse me. Isaiah 7, verse 13 and 14. "And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing that you to weary men? But I will ye weary my God also. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. He says, Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." That was set out ahead. Now Matthew chapter 1. Verse 22 and 23 say, "For all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, being interpreted, God is with us. or being interpreted, is God with us. It was prophesied and it came to pass. Let's continue. It was prophesied that he's the Son of God, that he's God, and that he's man. Now, I don't know how a prophet would have the courage to imply such things. This has never happened. Can't be explained. The one we just looked at, the virgin birth, has never happened. Can't be explained. And yet, these things came forward. Jeremiah 23, verse 5 and 6. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. We have read about the righteous branch before. And a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his day, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called the Lord of Righteousness. The Lord of Righteousness as the Son of God. Isaiah 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And it continues there. Matthew 1, 23, it says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. We just read that and read it in Isaiah as well. He's the Son of Man, yet he's the Son of God. Now let's go to Luke chapter 1. You might want to keep your finger in Matthew. Matthew and Luke have a lot of these fulfillments in them. Luke chapter 1. We're going to start reading in verse 30 to 35. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And I can't explain the mystery here. We looked at the lineage of the men. And it says it is the generation of Jesus Christ. But it's the seed of the woman and the seed of God. He's the Son of God. There was no man involved. And how that all flows together is like, it's almost like a mystery. But he's the Son of God and he's the Son of Man. I do believe that Mary was also in this lineage that is here. So then it still would be correct with the lineage. Let's go on to number 4. A forerunner is prophesied. A forerunner is prophesied. So these things are prophesied that men... people can't just manufacture. You can't just cook this up and all of a sudden say, well, here it is. Number 4 is a forerunner is prophesied. Isaiah chapter 40. Then I'm going to go to Malachi chapter 3 and Malachi chapter 4, and we're going to come back to Luke. Going to have quite a bit in Luke here, a little bit in Matthew. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 3 says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." That sounds familiar. Well, this is prophesied in Isaiah. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, says the Lord of hosts." Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. "Behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." So the children of Israel were well versed in these scriptures. We read the New Testament and we're aware there were prophecies being fulfilled. And we easily sort of brush it off and just go on. But the children of Israel were watching these things. There's a Messiah coming. There's a voice of one crying in the wilderness sometime. And those two will need to go together. They will need to go together. Let's go to Luke. Here we could read the whole chapter and get the full scope of it, but it'll take us too long. So I tried to pick out just some verses. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 13. "But the angel of the Lord said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." Zacharias was doing his part in serving in the temple with in the evening prayer. I think he was going in and doing the incense. And the angel appeared to him, said, "His prayer is heard." Verse 14, "Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah was a priest. He knew these scriptures. And when the angel began quoting prophecies, Zechariah knew right where he's going. My son is to be the forerunner. He knew that. And Zacharias knew all of that. I don't know what his prayer was heard, was he made, but the angel said, "Your prayer is heard. And your wife is going to bear a son in her old age." Then after that, Zacharias goes, "How can these things be? We're both old." And the angel said, "Well, for a sign to you, you won't be able to talk until the day he's born. Because you wouldn't believe." Sometimes you look at it and say, how was Zacharias expected to just believe this? And yet he knew all this. He's one that would have taught the people. They were going through the Old Testament scriptures and meticulously watching for these things. Verse 41, and it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Here the angel made a proclamation that this son will be filled with the Holy Spirit from his womb. And months later, this literally happens, and Zacharias and Elizabeth knew it happened. Elizabeth begins to prophesy. And I don't have that here. I don't think I do later either. But the things she was saying were things that were prophesied in the scriptures as well. Verse 57, now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. They didn't need an ultrasound to know there's a son coming. They'd been well told it's a son. They went to name him. In verse 60, Elizabeth, his mother, answered and said, not so, he shall be called John. And the relatives are saying, there's no John in the family. We don't do like that. And they go get a pad, and they get a pen and paper over to Zacharias, and he writes, his name is John. And they're all marveling and wondering. I wonder how much talk that created. Maybe the children of Israel, they just never said anything that would have been gossip or a juicy story. In our Anabaptist communities, it would have been all over the place. And I have a feeling it was all over Israel. Because Zacharias was serving in the temple, and he comes out and he begging to speak to the people, and nothing. And they all realized he saw some kind of a vision. And when his days were done of serving there, he goes home. Now, they're past childbearing, and she ends up pregnant. Would anybody talk about that? I think so. Now he's finally born, and can you imagine excitement? And they want to help on the eighth day. They're all here for circumcision, help him name the child. And they all have their, I guess it's not quite as personal there. The whole family helps name the child. We sort of, as parents, like to have that mostly to ourselves. And the parents are saying, no. John. He was so named of the angel. And they both say, John. And everybody's marveling. Wonder if anybody talked about that. I mean, do you remember what happened to Zacharias back in the temple? And then she gets pregnant. And they have this baby. And if I'm right, and we'll read this later, Zacharias writes on the pad, his name is John. And what happened to his tongue? It got loosed. And what did he do? Whew, I'm so glad I can talk. Michael doesn't agree with that. He started praising God and prophesying and quoting Old Testament scriptures of prophecies of what's coming, not only for John, the front runner, but the Messiah. Is Jesus going to show up on the scene as a sneaky little thing that nobody knows about? I don't think so. This is good talking material. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 2. Ananias and Sapphira, or Ananias, Annas and Caiaphas. Whew, I'm getting all messed up here. Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias in the wilderness, and he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Matthew says something similar in chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. A little bit later, I just picked out a couple verses here. Verse 10, Matthew 3, verse 10. Now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth fruit shall be hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize with you water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. A forerunner. That is saying, there's one coming that is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to even tie. He must increase and I must decrease. Those are the things the forerunner was saying. He was saying that he's so glad to hear the voice of the Messiah. It was revealed to him when Jesus came to be baptized. This is the one. And he said openly to everybody, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He openly said those things. There are so many things like that. It's just all over. A Messiah is prophesied. He's born in Bethlehem. He's born in Bethlehem. Why did that matter? You know, I was putting this together, I'm like, why did that matter? It seems like such a trivial detail. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But thou, O Bethlehem, Ephratah, that though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come he, shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And there is another scripture somewhere, it's referred to in, I forget, is it Luke or Matthew here, and I wasn't able to locate it. I wanted to find it, and I just didn't get the right connection. Yes, Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and then Matthew chapter 2. So now Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, The days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. So Bethlehem is the city of David. Did that have something to do with where he'd be born or not? It may have. But it was prophesied that he would be born in Bethlehem. And here we see a taxation going out at just the right time to call Joseph and Mary out of Nazareth to come up to Bethlehem. And let me just clear up a Bible story thing. There's more of them like this. Jesus wasn't born the first night when they arrived in Bethlehem. It says, while they were there, her time was fulfilled. We don't know how long they were there. But this taxation goes out, and Joseph and Mary travel to Bethlehem to be taxed. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Now, Matthew chapter 2. Says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, excuse me. Struggled with this cough for several weeks and was hoping to get through this morning. Okay, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now we're stirring up Jerusalem. Sounds like the word hasn't gotten to Jerusalem about what's happened in Bethlehem. He hadn't heard about the angels coming and declaring it and telling the shepherds. And they're all troubled. And when Herod had gathered together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. They went back and looked at the prophecies. Where is he going to show up? Oh, it's going to be Bethlehem. If you saw a star, you want to find him, you need to go to Bethlehem. That's what the wise men did. Another one here. Hosea 11:1 says, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Just a little detail, but after 2 years, it seems, or close to 2 years, Herod decided that the wise men betrayed him and didn't come back. So he sent his soldiers to Bethlehem to kill all the little boys 2 years and younger. Well, Joseph is warned, and they go off to Egypt for safety. Later, they're called out of Egypt to come back. But he's told to go back to Nazareth. There's also scripture that says he's going to be called a Nazarene. And all of these things moved around. They were spoken and they were fulfilled. A Messiah is prophesied. The wise man is number six. We just looked at that in Matthew chapter 2. I don't know if we will reread it or not. The Star of the East. I also struggled here a little bit finding as much as I would. I expect there's a few things in some places I haven't found them. But these wise men of the East, there was a day that Abraham had several different sons, and there was a day that he sent them all away because Isaac is the one that his seed will be called by for the Messiah. And they went and joined themselves to the East people. And if you sort of look at things, it would appear like these wise men from the East very likely had some kind of connection there. And they were following through and watching what's happening. What did they know about the Star of Bethlehem or the Star of the East? They came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is the Messiah? We've seen his star. We've seen his star." One verse that I did find, Numbers 24, verse 17. "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Seth." Doesn't seem like a really, really direct prophecy. But in the Bible, the word star, for example, is capitalized, like it's a name for the Messiah. "There shall come a star out of Jacob." The wise men were watching for this. They were looking for fulfillments. There were other people looking for fulfillments. And like I said, there's many of them. I'm going to conclude here with number 7. And I don't know if this one's going to be, I don't think this one's full either. We are going to be reading out of Luke chapter 1 and 2. Before we do that, number 7 is salvation to Israel and light to the Gentiles. These things are prophesied. Isaiah 60, verse 1 through 3. "Arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall rise upon them, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising." I don't know which way to say. I ran out of time to look for more scriptures. But it also was saying we're not going to have time in sharing it to go look for all these scriptures. So what I decided to do here is go to Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2 and read some of these things people said. And they're packed full of prophecies. And if you want to go look them up, they're in the Old Testament of the Messiah coming. The Messiah has been prophesied. So let's start in Luke chapter 1 in verse 62. This is going to go back to Zacharias. Zacharias, the father of John, serving in the temple as a priest. Verse 62, "And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they all marveled. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. Says fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these things were noised abroad throughout the hill country of Judea. So they must have been a lot like us. These things went brrr out across the hill country of Judea. Verse 67, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up an horn of salvation for us, a specific fulfillment, in the house of the servant of David, his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all them that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation unto the people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the desert till the day of his showing to Israel. Then we have sandwiched in between here, and I wasn't going to read it at all, about the angels coming to the shepherds. And there's things there as well. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He was looking for the Messiah. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do with him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared for the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and Mary, his mother, marveled at the things which he'd spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rise again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many may be revealed. How does Simeon know? How does Simeon know? They didn't come into the temple announcing all these things that have happened. They came in and he was like, there's the child. The salvation of Israel. And he's even saying things are going to happen in his death. It's a new thought that he would reveal the thoughts of many hearts. That hadn't happened yet. That's a completely new thought. A Messiah is prophesied. Verse 36, this is Anna. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. How do they know? There's two things there. They knew the prophecies. Simeon, it says, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. They were walking with God. They were looking for the day without their own agenda. There's a Messiah prophesied, and he's going to be coming. We could talk about a lot more things. And I think in your minds, you know that I have touched some spots. That's all I've done. There's a Messiah has been prophesied.